Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here. And speaking of joy, we were sitting out into the tent yesterday, and I recognized a certain Ford vehicle pulling up and two young ladies sitting in the front seat. And Clara was bringing Joy back from the beauty shop. And Joy, I know she hasn't been doing well in her health, but she was all smiles. And she talked to us a little bit, and then Clara says, well, I better get Mom home, and off they went. So it was a joy to see Joy. And, you know, I just want to say something. Milton was telling me this morning, after he fell in the street, he said he made his way onto the car and got in the car and started sounding the horn to get somebody's attention because he couldn't get up and walk. And he said while he laid there in the street, he started to sing. I don't remember the title of the song. You'd have to ask him. But it's about how good the Lord is and how faithful. And if you know how Milton sings, he gets a hold of your heartstrings when he sings. And I love to hear him sing. But to fall like that and to lay there, that ministered to my heart this morning because I'm not going to say anything. I'm not trying to get you sad and squalling for me. I don't want that, none of that. But Wednesday morning at 3 a.m., my cousin Tammy passed away. And then at 5 a.m., my Uncle Aubrey passed away in two parts of Arkansas, two different areas. And I was devastated. I felt the life literally go out of me. I was an emotional wreck for quite a few days. I almost couldn't even hardly praise the name of the Lord. It hurt. And I listened to Milton say that this morning, but coming to the yard sale, that was my big uplift, really, was being around my church family and being around people who needed ministered to. My heart was lifted up yesterday, and then to hear Milton, being in the pain he was in, lay there and start singing to the Lord. And that's encouraged me this morning to praise the Lord. My heart hurts. I tell you, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. I've been in some tough places, and I've only seen the hand of God move and just bring me up. And this morning, and the singing of Oh How I Love Jesus, I heard my mom sing that song so many mornings, and how I'd love to hear her singing it again. But it just testifies to me that I need to praise the Lord in every situation. And Bob said something to me earlier that just so comforting. Bob said, we're going to go through these times in life. And we will. God's never promised us an easy day. Now we have a lot of good. Every day with God's good, I'll tell you that. This sermon may not go according to my notes, and that's all right. Because I want God to move in this today. But we're going to go through things, and I want to tell you that it's the time that we call out to Jesus in those moments. And I sure wish I would have called out to Jesus a lot sooner Wednesday morning. Because I know He would have been right there to lift me up. He has. Because I declare by faith this morning in the name of the Lord. And that's why this sermon, boy, it came to me Friday. The name I love to hear. Because at the name of Jesus, there's power. And there's might and there's strength. And it's the name that's above every name. It's the name that should be exalted and glorified. It's the name that should be spoken frequently throughout life. Even when you're in the deepest of your down and outs, you praise the name of the Lord and you mention the name of Jesus. Even when you're praying and you're feeling hopeless and in despair, if all you can say is Jesus through your tears, I'm telling you, your situation will be turned around immediately. And you will be lifted up as you glorify God. I want to tell you this morning, don't look at your situations as doom and gloom. You look at your situations, you look at your life, and you say, thank you, God, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, and that I have life, and I have it abundantly. That right there could be a sermon enough for us, I think, today. But I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. I always believe in reading Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And those of you that are able, please stand in reverence to reading of God's Word. To me, this is one of the, I always say, the greatest, one of the greatest stories of the Bible is the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to really focus on that right there. It's from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we glorify you, and we thank you for this precious birth. We thank you for the name that is above every name, the name Jesus, which means Emmanuel. God is with us. And Father, the only thing we need to get out of this message today is that we need our hearts and lives changed, and that's by the power of Jesus' name. And Father, you speak to each and every one of us how we need to be spoken to by your Holy Spirit today. Because each and every one of us, dear God, we have different needs today. We might have carried something in here with us today, dear God, but let us leave it at your throne. Let us leave here today feeling lighter, feeling filled with your power, being changed, seeing the course of our life going a whole different direction, dear God. And let us leave here today in love with you, Lord, and more committed to you in every way. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I do want to start off with a little bit of lightheartedness here. But back in the state of Kentucky, many years ago, there was a man and woman. They gave birth to a son, and they named him Odd. And this little boy had this name, and he was quite embarrassed of his name. And he got teased and made fun of his whole life. And the time came when Odd got married, he got married, had, and him and his wife had kids, and he told his wife, he said, I want you to promise me something. He said, I've always been ashamed of my name. He said, so when I die, please leave my name off of my tombstone. Just put my date of birth and the date that I died, and that'll be just fine. So the moment came that Odd passed away, and his wife carried out his wishes, and on his tombstone, the only thing that she put was the date he was born, the year he was born, and the year that he died. And people will walk through that cemetery down there in Kentucky, and as they walk through that cemetery and they look at that tombstone, somebody will say, isn't that odd? See, had to give you a little bit of lighthearted laughter. And that's all right. God created laughter, and I believe it's a way we can praise the Lord with laughter, so that's all right. Now, let's get on to the most important name ever given to us. You know, when we were born, our parents gave us a name. And I want you to know something. Your name means something about you. When people hear your name, what do they think of? When they hear the name Bob Thomas, what do they think of, Bob? People that know you. And I know they say a lot of good things about you, Bob. I know that because I hear a lot of people here have said many good things about you. When people say the name Billy Ansel, what do they think of? Well, they think of Billy. He's a jokester. He's funny. No, I didn't say funny looking, just funny. He's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He's dedicated. Everybody has got something attributed to your name. And I hope this. Now, I hope that through my life, when people have heard my name, I always hope that people have something good. I know there's going to be people who'll have something negative to say, and that's all right. I'll pray for them. But I hope that people have more good to say about my name and the things that are tied to my life, because there's always something in the name. When you hear the name Colonel Harlan Sanders, what do you think of? Fried chicken, don't you? Finger licking good. I start thinking of white meat chicken. I get hungry right away. But there's always something attributed to a name. But there's a name that's above every name, the most important name. This is the name that actually means something. And that's the name of Jesus. An angel commanded Joseph to name him Jesus. And it was for a reason and a purpose. Now, when I started off this morning, I was telling you that there's no other name but Jesus' name. There's no name on this earth that is great as His. Because at the name of Jesus, there is power, there is life, there is hope, there is peace, there is love, there is healing, there is redemption. At the name of Jesus, there have been so many times in life that when I was in prayer that I couldn't really pray anything because of heaviness or weariness, that all I could do is, Father, I praise you and I praise the name of Jesus, Lord. And when I would start to praise the name of Jesus and speak that name, I found strength that I never possessed upon my own human will. But the name of Jesus was a name that would be spoken and will be spoken for many years to come. It's a name that has a deep meaning, and it's a name that was given to him because of what he came to this earth to do. And I love, and I just knew that Laura would probably pick that song out. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because that was my favorite hymn. My mother sang it every single day because it exalts the name that is above every name. And I tell you what, I want to say something, and I hope people wore some steel-toe boots because I'm wearing mine. I thought this was going to be an easy, lighthearted message, but I think we need to hear this. God put a tongue in our mouth. And that tongue can be used to either praise God or it can be used for evil. And I want to say something to every Christian person that's come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as Lord and Savior. We should carefully watch what comes out of our mouth and what we say about others and what we speak in this life. Because God put breath in our lungs and He put the tongue in our mouth that we would praise Him as His children. And yet, I hear so many times, and then I'm going to get off this soapbox, but I hear a lot of times, Christian, and I'm guilty of this too, get in on gossip, get in on talking about somebody else and how they're living their life and what they've done wrong, and then we want to tear them down. And God gave us a tongue and our mouth and breath in our lungs that we would use the name of Jesus, that we would speak His word, that we would glorify Him with this mouth. And I want to encourage every single person in this house of worship this morning, turn away from the wickedness that the devil puts in front of you, what the devil is flooding your mind with. Put away, put it out of your life, turn away from the flesh, and start to praise and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And you start to speak the name of Jesus over your life, over your family, over your church, where you work, and everything that you do. And when you start to speak the name of Jesus and you start to glorify Him, you will see a change in the atmosphere and you will feel your heart enlightened. And you will start to see your actions turn from what they once were. Now, I ain't saying that none of us are perfect, because we aren't. But I'm telling you this, God gave us a brain to think with. And if we call ourselves Christians, then everything that we do, we should do by the name of Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name. He came to do something wonderful and glorious. He came to die for you and I. So when I hear people talking about sports figures or actors, one thing I can't stand to hear, oh, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? Boy, it's tragic in their life. You know, there'll be breakup of a Hollywood couple. Well, you know, I'm not, and they'll be going on about their names, this, that, and the other. Well, I'm sorry that they're having hard times in their life. But when I open up of a morning, or when I get up of a morning, I want to open the Word of the Lord, and I want to read. I want to draw from the power that God has given to me through His Holy Word, and every time that I'm in the reading in the Bible and I'm reading in the New Testament about things Jesus did. And when Jesus spoke things from His name, there was given authority. There was given power. And every time that Jesus spoke with that authority and power, the devil would leave His side. I want to tell you something. The devil's going to come at you and the devil's going to tempt you. The devil's going to want to trip you up. He's going to want to try to deceive you and destroy your life. But if you will do as Jesus did and you will start to speak His name, the devil will leave you. And the devil, now he'll come back and he's going to try to find you in a weak moment. But that's why it is important for us to continue to speak His holy name. Because when we are speaking the name of Jesus, you can't see it with the naked eye, but in the spirit realm, there is a battle in the spiritual. There's spiritual forces, a battle of good and evil. Now, we can't see it, like I said, with the naked eye, but it's happening all around us. And I wonder how our lives would be different if we could really see the angel forces that are on our side, the angels that the Lord has encamped around us, if we could really see the battle, would it make a difference? Would it really change us? But we can't see that, but we have to know that there's forces of darkness all around us. And when we speak the name of Jesus, it does bring a light into that darkness, and it changes the things about us. And as I said earlier, when we're speaking the name of Jesus, it enlightens the heart. And I tell you what, when I start talking about Jesus, I don't know about you, but I don't want to say that this is it's not a physical feeling, but something in the spirit, I get this energy feeling coming out of my spirit, and I get a joy that I can't get from any other place. I've experienced happiness before, and I've experienced peace, but when I get the joy of the Lord, I know that it is my strength, and I know that it is what is carrying me through this life. His name declares His identity. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Now, Jesus said that no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the sole reason that you and I are going to heaven. That is, if you have received Him as Lord and Savior of your life. And if you're living for Jesus, you are obeying His commandments, you're loving others. See, because that salvation, a king came as a servant and gave His life. He gave up the glory of heaven to come and die for you and I. And I want you to know something. We should never take that lightly. We should never take that lightly at all. Salvation belongs to the Lord Jesus. And you and I are called to pick up our crosses and to follow Him daily. That's what our life is, to be an example of that salvation. How are people in the world going to know that we are Christians? They're going to know it by our love. And where does that love come from? The love only comes from Jesus Christ. See, the power of His shed blood cleansed you from all of your sin. Now, you're going to continue to sin on the face of this earth, but let me tell you something. Don't do it willingly. Don't give in to what the enemy is speaking in your ear. When you feel the urge to tell somebody off, I'll tell you one thing. I'll share this story with you. There was a youth minister one morning, got ready to go to church, got out. He was already running late. The morning wasn't going right for him. And instead of having his day hemmed in prayer and in praise and speaking the name of Jesus, he decided, well, he was just going to get aggravated because things weren't going right. And he went out to his car, running late for church already, had to be there because he's on staff. Car wouldn't start. And he got aggravated, and he hit the steering wheel, started complaining. And then he goes back in the house, storms in, slams the door, and his wife comes, "What in the world is the matter with you? All that blingity-bling car ain't going to start this morning. Everything's just going wrong already. Might as well just stay home today. Wasn't worth getting out of bed for." And she said, "Just take my car." She said, "I'll call one of my friends, and they'll bring me in the kids to church. It's all right." Yeah, so he grumbled and griped, complained, took her keys, got into his wife's car, and he got it started, and he got down the road. And as he went down the road a little ways, he come to a red light. And the car pulled up behind him. And the car behind him, the person starts honking her horn. And he's like, "What is the problem? There's a red light." And he's getting angrier. I mean, the morning's been bad enough. He didn't give way to the Lord at all. But the flesh took over. And then the person behind him honking again. This time he's just fueled with rage. And he gets out of the car, slams the door, runs back to the other car, stands at the window and says, "What is your problem? Can't you see I've had a bad morning already? You're making it worse. Can't you quit honking your horn? I'm impatient, now I'm angry. What's wrong with you?" And the lady that was sitting behind him, all wide-eyed like deer in the headlight, looked. She said, "Well, sir, the bumper sticker on your car says honk if you love Jesus." And she said, "I was just honking to let you know I love Jesus." And about that time, his foot went right into his mouth, and he just went back, got in his wife's car, and drove off on to church. See, I tell you that because of this. It's what we do in this life. Our witness, our example, is what preaches to so many others. Now, had there been something if that woman had found out he was a music minister of a church, that would have been pretty bad. But I say this to you this morning. When you speak the name of Jesus over your day, even when you're angry and upset, if you just start praying and you give it to the Lord, because when you give it to God, you're laying at the... You see, Jesus laid His whole will at the foot of the Father. He said, "I don't want to do this. I don't really want to go to the cross, but I will." And even though he was mistreated, even though he was mocked against and made fun of and beaten and nailed to a cross, he still loved people and never lost his temper. Now, let me back up here. He did get righteously angry, and he drove money changers and those who were selling out of his father's place of worship. He did do that. That was a righteous anger. But he never sinned in that anger. But that's an example to you and I. Salvation means we are Christ-like. We are children of Almighty God. So our life has to be an example like His. No, we'll not walk in the flesh perfectly, but we must strive for it. We must achieve that daily. I hear a lot of people say, "Now, Brother Jim, you preach this stuff a lot from the pulpit, but you have no idea how hard that is for me. You don't know my life." No, I don't know everybody's life. But I'm going to tell you this. I've told you many times, I came out of an abusive childhood. I was told how no good I was, how dumb I was. I would never amount to nothing. And to have those voices haunt my life for so many years until the day I came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I love you as you are. To me, you're somebody special. I love you. I died for you. I gave all so that you could have everything for all of eternity with me in heaven." When I met that Jesus, when that salvation hit my heart, it changed the course of my life. And see, I knew that I was an adult. I was a young adult, but I knew now I've got a different life. I have an identity in Christ. I have a new way to live. And I need to start sharing that with people around me. Did those words hurt me? Yes. Did they still affect me through life at times? Yes. The devil used that as a weapon. 4 months before he passed away, my father said, "Son, I need to talk to you." And he cried. And he said, "I'm so sorry for how I treated you. For everything I ever did to my family. I'm so sorry." And he cried and he wept hard. And I could tell the man was serious. And he said, "Son, please forgive me." I tell you what, at that moment the devil said, "Let him have it. You tell him all about it. You tell him how he hurt you. You tell him of the wrong he done." And all them words were right on the tip of my tongue. But all I could do out of the mercy and the love of the Lord was put my arms around my daddy's neck. And I said, "Dad, I love you and I forgive you." And that was the best 4 months I'd ever had with my dad. And I'll tell you one thing, I wish I could have had those 4 months multiplied into many years. But I praise God that my dad got things right with the Lord before he passed. See, that's the power of Jesus' name, because I prayed for my dad. If we pray for those in the name of Jesus who despitefully use us and persecute against us, it will make a difference in their life and it will make a difference in your life. See, sadly, I see a lot of Christians holding unforgiveness toward other people. They lash out at other people. I want to tell you something. When you lash out at others, it doesn't affect them. They're going to go about their life happy, doing what they do. You know who it's going to affect? You. It's going to tear you up physically, emotionally, and mentally, and make you a basket case over time. So I want you to know this morning, at the name of Jesus, it should cause you to forgive people and love others. When you start to love others, when you start to forgive others, and you start to live for Christ, when you speak the name of Jesus, it will change the very fabric of your heart. It will take that old stony heart and it will make it a heart of softness, and God will fill you with the love that you never experienced anywhere else. Now I tell you what, people here, they've loved on me here, and I enjoy it. Oh, I do. But I want to tell you something. Y'all can't love me like Jesus can, because He's got the greatest love ever. I ain't never got through all this whole sermon. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll preach the next half next Sunday. How's that?